It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Tuesday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. And the Top 5 at 5 is brought to you this afternoon by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Here's Marcus Young.
Thank you, Russell. Hat number one, as the Memphis Tigers and coach Penny Hardaway has been determined that they did not violate NCAA rules in providing benefits to prospective student athletes.
No, it wasn't that they were determined not to have violated NCAA rules. I think it's pretty obvious that they violated NCAA rules. They put them on probation.
I guess I should say further, I guess.
They just declined to do anything about it, is the way I read it.
Well, I go back to what we talked about in the first hour, which is it makes you kind of wonder, when they did not play ball with the NCAA, and we did, if we both end up getting just a slap on the wrist.
Oh, well, yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, they played it right. But no, the panel ruled, and they're the first school to have their case ruled on by the Independent Accountability Resolution Process, IARP. Panel ruled that Memphis failed to monitor the education and activities of a booster, provided impermissible extra benefits, conducted impermissible recruiting activities, and failed to cooperate with the investigative process. So, like, they clearly, they violated a lot of rules. And if this were even 10 years ago, I think they would have gotten slammed. But they benefited from the fact that the NCAA is going through this transition process, and hopefully Tennessee benefits from that as well. But if we weren't going through, if our thing wasn't hanging out there, I think we might be getting our dander up a little bit more. Get away with whatever. But we'll look the other way. It's just out of the sheer hope that Tennessee gets a similar outcome.
At number two, the New York Giants will be losing their top receiver, Sterling Shepard, to a torn ACL. The injury will end his season, and honestly, perhaps his time with the Giants. He is the longest tenured player on the team, but he is in the final year of his reconstructed deal. A lot of questions have been asked about specifically Met Field, as the turf that they use. Last year, 5 players suffered game-ending lower body injuries in the same game against the New York Jets, including Nick Bosa and Solomon Thomas. You also had the Baltimore Ravens weren't happy when Kyle Fuller tore an ACL there against the Jets in week one. So it starts to make you wonder if, something's going on with turf. Maybe we just need to move to grass full time.
Seems to really have you wound up, Marcus.
Just saying, unnecessary injuries when you can just put grass in there.
Has MetLife replaced Veterans Stadium, Philadelphia? Remember?
I don't think anybody will ever top Veterans Stadium.
Who is the dude who blew out both knees on the same play at the Vet? Like Wendell Jones, maybe?
Can't remember. I know Emmitt Smith has talked about it over the years.
But ended Michael Irvin's career.
It's like getting tackled on concrete. It's basically green concrete.
Think about what happened to A.J. Green near the last year of his season with the Bengals. Like, they were doing a practice field, like, I think at a racetrack or something like that.
I mean, it's crazy. The old Tennessee turf before they went to grass was pretty rough,
too. I'll pull it up.
Oh, yeah, that was awful.
It was, like, before preseason. They were doing, like, some sort of practice. Like, it was on a field, but there was, like, concrete underneath it. And so when he went up and came down, he, like, messed up his knee. Number three, Florida Gators will be moving their football game from against Eastern Washington to Sunday due to Hurricane Ian.
Sunday. I wish they'd play on Friday. Give me an SEC team to watch them. I could actually here's the other great thing about beating Florida is I can watch them for the rest of the season without feeling sick to my stomach.
Yeah. I mean, we can watch, especially this weekend, we could totally enjoy college football without – if we had lost that game last weekend, I wouldn't want to be watching college football this weekend.
So great.
Along with them, South Florida's football team with East Carolina has been moved from Tampa to Boca Raton and will be played at 2:30 on Saturday. The NFL's Tampa Bay Buccaneers will have relocated their football operations to the Miami Dolphins training complex. And the NHL's Tampa Bay Lightning Bear, two-time winners, have opposed their preseason because of Hurricane Ian.
You talking about hockey again?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and tune out then.
At number four, the U.S. men's national team were held scoreless by Saudi Arabia in the final warm-up before the 2022 World Cup, as the final was 0-0.
God, we suck.
What's going on?
Can't score.
Because they lost 2-0 to Japan on Friday. It's
It seems like Pulisic played today, Giorena. It looks like Reyna got hurt again.
Huh.
McKinney. Yeah, I mean, like, all our dudes were playing, and we can't score on Saudi Arabia. That is not a good sign.
The U.S. will next be in action when it begins its World Cup campaign against Wales on November 21st, before rounding out the group stage with games against England and Iran.
The outlaw Josie Wales.
And finally, at number five, a robot runs 100 meters in 24.73 seconds. Breaks a world record.
100 meters in how long?
In 24.73 seconds.
It's pretty fast, isn't it?
Yeah, a robot developed at Oregon State University broke a Guinness World Record by running 100 meters on two legs in less than half a minute.
How long do you think it'd take a normal dude like me to run the 100, Bear?
You?
Never run it before. I mean, I've run it, but I've never, like, timed it.
17, maybe?
You think I'd break 24?
24?
Yeah, that's what a robot ran, 24.
24 seconds.
Surely to God.
Okay.
You never got timed in the 100?
No. I never ran track. Never been. I hated running, man. Like,
really? I love sprints. Like, the 100 and the 220, but anything more than that, and I didn't like it.
The worst day of school growing up was the mile run.
For the Presidential Council on Physical Fitness?
Did
you make the 6 minute?
Hell no, I didn't make 6 minute. Like, I would always.
What do you mean hell no? We didn't have a choice over there, Bearden Middle.
You mean, yeah, like guys with whips, like.
What was that coach's rods? Name? It was Coach Bacon and Coach McCurry or something. Yeah, I mean, hell, he stood there and I didn't bark at you. You had to get it.
Oh, man.
I puked after my. I broke 6 minutes, but I puked everywhere.
I was walking a good portion of it.
I'm sure you were.
So the robot dubbed Cassie broke the record for the fastest 100 meters by a bipedal robot. Cassie previously managed to run a 3.1-mile course last year in just over 53 minutes.
I feel like I could, even now, maybe have a shot at outrunning a robot.
You think so?
Love to see that.
I don't know.
You're starting to doubt yourself. You have,
well, I mean, hell, I don't know. I mean, in the past 2 years, I've lost half a lung and had a damn thoracotomy. Convalescing. I'm sure you guys would love to see my old, you know, just beat cancer's ass running a 100-meter dash against a damn robot. Yeah. I like to see old Goonie Bird Russell try and break 22 seconds.
Well, let's do it. Set it up. I'll be there.
I'll reach out.
Thank you, Marcus. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate market has slowed down a little bit in terms of some houses that were popping off at, you know, after just less than a day on the market are now staying on there for weeks, maybe even months at a time, you know, like it used to be. But the prices are still sky high. So if you're looking to move, you want to sell your home and cash in, you can absolutely still do that. Those prices are not coming down, folks. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group can help you determine the precise price point that will maximize the profit on your home and help change your family's financial future. Give Bo a call today at 865-742-1035 and set up a free consultation. Tell him I sent you. Bo Kregner, 742-1035, and you can get your home listed, get your home sold, and move on to your next place with Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way.
So I sent you a text after voluntary reaction the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You never commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
But so a house, the house next door to me, really nice house. And I couldn't never see my neighbors after they bought it. And
you have new neighbors now?
Yeah, I got new neighbors on one side. Come to find out, it's one of those deals where somebody's parents bought a house. All the people living there are UT students.
Huh. So
it's not, haven't gone over and introduced myself yet, but came out at like 2 in the morning the other night.
Oh, no.
Was going to move my car in the garage.
Is it a rental? The parents bought the house?
Yeah, the parents bought the house. They paid way too much for it.
That's nice.
But
hey, Mom, you want to buy me and my buddies a house for college?
It's a really nice. It's a lot nicer than my house.
See my parents, the look on their face after that request.
Yeah. I guess I haven't been around, lived near any college kids in a long time, but like, they'll funnel beer. You know, twice now.
College kids are drinking beer these days, you say? Really?
Funneling beer by yourself.
Beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
3 a.m.?
No, that doesn't sound like college kids I recall.
Never.
On a Tuesday?
I mean, it is a day that ends in Y.
Okay. I thought it was a little odd. But, yeah, they haven't had any crazy parties yet. But, I mean, I'll see if I can help them change that.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to go over and participate, or are you calling the cops?
No, I wouldn't call the cops unless they would. Well, that's because you're square.
I mean, you call me what you want. I pay for my house. I want peace and quiet. I don't want a bunch of drunken kids ruining my sleep.
Well, they've got one of those, some kind of King Kong smoker that they fire up about every other day, and smells like they're pretty good cooks. I'll have to go out and check it out. You wouldn't ask somebody to hold it down a little bit first before you call the cops?
I suppose.
Don't be that.
Every situation,
Russ,
is different. I don't know. You piss me off. I just call the cops. That's what they're there for. Serve and protect. Get out here and serve me. Protect my sleeping patterns. Officer, arrest that man.
I'm just going to
end
up
him.
Like,
beat him with your nightclub.
I just like the idea of the cop showing up and you going, serve me. Serve me in my sleep, please.
Serve and protect me. Protect me from this
public
noise.
Servant?
Idiots over here funneling beer.
Yes. I know you've got violent criminals you're supposed to be out chasing, but I've got an important meeting at about 11:30. I got a lunch to make here. I can't be up this late.
No.
Need my 8 hours, my beauty sleep.
You definitely need that.
546-8200, your number to get in on the festivities. 865-546-8200. We go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Brad in La Follette is next. Hello, Brad.
What's going, guys?
What's up?
Smoke coming from a bunch of college kids' house. I've got a feeling they're not cooking fire.
I'm not a grass expert.
No, buddy. Used to be. And I mean, I've seen the smoker. I mean, the smoker, they've got it on the front porch. It's weird.
Believe me, Brad, if that were a different kind of smoke coming from that backyard, Bear'd be over there in about 2 seconds.
Breaking it down for him.
Yeah, I'll be calling the police on y'all if you don't share.
I would never say that. I don't call the cops, man, unless it's something bad. Call the cops on anybody for smoking weed? What you can do that for? I ain't hurting anybody, Russ.
Because they won't share with you later if you do that.
Listen to Russell Nixon over here.
Missed my joke. Anyway, go on, Brett.
Guys, if Tennessee finishes in the 90s again in defense, do you see Josh Heupel making some kind of a change at the end of the season?
I don't, because in Tim Banks' defense, I mean, this is we're, what, 4 games into his second year, and it's not like he's got a room full of when he meets with the defense. It's not like there's, you know, four and five stars all over the place back there. I feel like we got to give him at least another year. We got all these DB. We'll know more next year if we're able to hold on to this. This DB class we've got coming in is one of the better ones I can remember.
That's
in
a good
long
point.
Time.
And like if you fire Banks, who's the coordinator / safeties coach, and you know, I'm getting a text right now, is this a Willie Martinez problem? You get him gone, do those DBs that you have committed look elsewhere? And maybe the pessimist would say, well, it doesn't matter if you get good prospects and you can't coach them, and hey, fair enough. But from my vantage point, we need players. And look, if to your point, Brad, if this doesn't improve and it continues to get worse, then yeah, I mean, he's the head coach and you have to examine every facet of your program. And if you think that you are not getting the production from your defensive coordinator or your secondary coach that you need to be in the SEC, then you get paid the big bucks. You have to make those hard decisions. But I would say right now, I'm not there yet, but I mean, all options have to be on the table, man. This is big boy football.
I believe you could pick up the phone and call Derek Mason out at Oklahoma State.
Ooh.
He's making just a little over $1 million. I don't think you would lose any of your recruits.
Ooh.
I mean, that is one thing. I mean,
it's intriguing.
You know, he could wear his vest.
Yeah. Could bring Butch on as you know, when he gets.
We don't want Butch anywhere near.
Defensive analyst. They could be hugging up on each other.
Butch anywhere near anything to do with anywhere near Tennessee.
Well, that's all I got, guys. I just hope we can get healthy, work on a few things. It looked like our defensive line has got better from last year, though. Do you guys not agree?
Yeah, I think so. You know, last year you had, boy, I can't even remember what was that. The white dude from USC, Tremblay, and the other guy, big guy, rotating at one end spot.
Oh.
And then Young and Barron at the Leo spot, rush end spot. Yeah, I think they're better. And it's the same linebackers. I mean, they can't have gotten worse, right? I don't know if they've improved, but it's the same dudes. So – and the numbers are about the same. Again, you were 99th at the end of the last season in total defense. You're 96th right now. So maybe this is just what it is.
All right.
All right. I feel you, man. Thank you, Brad. He's like, not the answer I wanted, Russell. I don't know. What do you want me to say? I do think, going back to Rusty's point at the end of hour two, the way – Tennessee plays, and we talked about this yesterday. You have a coach who's going to dictate the way these games are played to everybody, and we haven't had that around here. We've had a lot of coaches that, well, I'm going to respond. We're going to coach against the other team, and you know, and Heupel's like, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to go a million miles an hour, and we're going to put points on the board. And you do what you want to do, but this is what we're doing. And you saw a coach in Billy Napier who's like, well, if that's what he's going to do, then I'm going to change the way I coach. I'm going to go for all these fourth downs, and I'm going to go for two-point conversions, and I'm going to be uber aggressive because that's the only way I think I can possibly win this game.
To me, it was pretty obvious. I think that's how Napier felt on Saturday.
Well, and to Rusty's point, if that's – and it almost worked. So – if that's how teams are going to play us, if everybody's going to come into these games, you know, it used to be if Jeremy Pruitt's coaching or Butch Jones or even Fulmer, you could come in and say, okay, well,
28.
You know, they're going to punt some, and they're not going to be super aggressive on fourth down, and like we can play our game because they're going to play their game. Now all of a sudden you've got a guy that's like, wait a minute, we better be scoring here, or we're going to get left in the dust, and maybe that, just that in and of itself, is going to make our defensive numbers look worse than other teams' defensive numbers.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, and it's something that I can't remember if it was Nessler or Danielson said the other day. It was right before we went up 17, or it may have been the score to go up 24-14, first drive of second half, where he's like, to beat Tennessee, you're going to have to. They're going to have to get into the 30s to have a shot at us.
Now, if Georgia and Alabama
– they're the two teams that can hold this offense in check,
yeah.
I've got a feeling.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see, maybe. Well,
Alabama's dirty. I worry about getting guys hurt against Alabama because of how dirty they are. And Georgia, as much as I'm loath to admit it, they are really, really good.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. David on Twitter would like to hear more about Bear's 6-minute mile in middle school.
We didn't have a choice.
Were you on a bicycle?
Mile? No.
6 minute mile?
No, that you guys like to make fun of me because I'm middle aged and have, you know, basically abused my body for the past 45 of them or 40 of them, but used to be kind of quick when I was a kid.
Agile?
I was a track guy.
Do you, Marcus, are you believing Bear when he says that he was a track guy in middle school?
I was a track guy growing up. That was one of the sports that my parents got me into.
He's told me a couple stories before of him being one of the fastest out.
I was fast.
So
I was always really, really fast.
It's possible.
It's possible?
Okay. I won't say no.
Should we put the poll in the field?
You put it. Do it if you want to. I don't
really
care.
You can put the pole up your rear end.
Up your ass, but I mean, I was fast. It was incredibly fast. So track was
incredibly fast.
Yeah,
you're bordering very close to Uncle Rico territory
no,
right
because
now.
Because unlike
Coach,
you,
just put you
I
in,
had I was
go
I was
state.
I was athletic, unlike you, and yeah, I mean that was one of the things. It was probably my best athletic. Attribute was I was incredibly fast at one time in my life when I was young. Not anymore. I couldn't beat a sloth in a race now, boys, but
Chris says he actually ran a 14:46. They told him 6 to make him feel good, like George Costanza bragging about spotting squirrels when they were actually mailboxes.
You guys are idiots. You had to run a 6 minute mile at Bearden Middle when I was there.
You did not have to run a 6 minute mile.
If you wanted to get the big award on the president's physical fitness thing and you wanted to.
Well, who wanted that?
He wanted to shake Reagan's hand.
Well, I did. I mean, it was the 80s.
Reagan. That's right, Carter.
It was Ronnie
Maybe
Reagan.
Ford.
It was Reagan.
Let's go to the phones.
Jackass.
Tommy is next. Good afternoon, Tommy. Tommy, you there?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, we got you.
All right. Sorry, I was in the shop. Y'all going off the rails today, ain't you?
Russell's being
Russell.
Russell's
what? Connecting with his audience? You're the one who said you ran a 6 minute mile. All I'm saying is I'm a little skeptical. Not calling you a liar, just saying I'm skeptical.
Down there at work, I got a bunch of guys. You know, they come together with a softball league. They want to get out there and relive the old high school days. And they tried to get me to join. I said, boys, I'm 33 years old now. A lot's changed. You know, I could run a 6 minute mile back 2008. But this is 2022 and a lot of injuries and everything else. I ain't even going to try to run a mile. If you see me running, you better run because there's something after me.
You want to know what's sad, Tommy? Unlike Bear, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to have ever been an athlete.
Whoa. I ain't no pretending to it. I wasn't the one that couldn't make
Uncle
a damn
Rico.
Tennis
okay.
team at West High okay. School there, film strip boy.
Well, like I said, I'm not going to pretend.
President of the Audiovisual Club.
I'm not going to pretend to have ever been an elite athlete. But I will say, this is I am in so much better shape at 43 than I was at 33. I don't know. That's I don't know.
Back would go out if you tried to run more than 20 yards.
Well, I tell you,
we can go outside and see if you want to, big boy.
Oh Lord, y'all don't do that. Come on,
I mean, I'll do the last segment of the show in traction if you want me to. I ain't scared.
I can stop watching my phone if you want to go run. I'll time you.
I tell you what I'm more interested in is Bear going over to the new frat house next door, and then all of a sudden Cody McClure, Jake Miller, and the boys show up, and they just become the fan-run old-school crew, you know, just a bunch of middle-aged guys starting a fraternity.
We're going streaking!
Yeah, you imagine Bear streaking down the road about 2 o'clock in the morning to see who calls the ball.
Tommy, people are eating right now. Please.
Hey, one thing real quick. Bear, you got me in some trouble there on voluntary reaction.
With what? I'm not the one who told you to call in and trash your buddy Justin and tell me he'd gone to a bro country concert.
I know all of us was liquored up and well lubricated after a big win. But I never said he was at a bro concert. I said he's at the River City concert down there. Y'all want to put bro country in there.
You really calling in to tell me that you're mad at me because I got you in trouble with Justin freaking Hannah?
I was just wondering what my 2 a.m. drunk Snapchat video from Justin was. I was like, what in the hell is he talking about? But at the end of the day, we got a week of nothing to talk about, getting ready for LSU. I believe we can hang some boys down there. Their quarterback, he started to look pretty decent. He ain't no Richardson or nothing, but I believe if we can clean up the secondary, I believe we can go down there and we can get a pretty convincing win on them guys. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the realization I'm coming to is that you just got to put the pedal to the metal offensively and try and score one more point than the other team when you're playing good teams like we're getting set to. And my magic number is kind of 42. That's where Heupel has been generally all his career. I think they average 42 points a game every year at UCF. We were at 39 last year, and you're taking over an offense that was terrible the year before. I think they'll kind of be around 42 this year. I feel like if you score 6 touchdowns, get to 42 points, and you can't win, then, I mean, that's just on your defense at that point. But I think that might be enough to beat LSU.
I believe it will. Like I said, I've watched a few of their games, just kind of watching them. Like I said, their quarterback, he's not terrible. I mean, he shows the spark. He's a pretty mobile quarterback, which kind of worries me.
He's their leading rusher.
Yeah, our history, you know, with mobile quarterbacks getting out. So maybe these boys get a week to rest up and go over some film and try to clean it up. Let's go to LSU and let's have Bama roll in here, you know, undefeated.
Oh, man. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. I like the picture you paint, Tommy.
Yes, sir, boys. Well, I'm going to keep listening. Hang up and let somebody else get in here. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you, Tommy. Jamie is up next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Good afternoon, Jamie.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, what's up, man?
Tommy, I like his accent. He must be from the Hollers around these parts.
Where are those fellers from?
I have no idea. Justin's accent's worse than
they're like the Jackson area. I should know exactly where they're from, but I know they're in the him and D.R. Vall and those folks, they're in the in-between Memphis and Nashville, kind of that no-man's-land portion of the state, no offense.
Bear, how does it feel to have Russ have to stand up for you and flush Brady? Don't you want to do your own fighting?
Russ didn't flush him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. It's time to take out the trash.
Well, I wanted to hear you give it to him before you did.
Nah, I'm mellowing out in my old age, Jamie. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I get it. You know, pick and choose your battles, I guess. He did throw – somebody call you a liar, though, man. That's tough.
That's tough. I just wasn't going to engage.
What are you trying to say, Jamie?
No, I'm just, you know, it's like you might as well slap my mom in the face and call me a liar. You know, that's tough. But
I'm not getting into it.
I got you, man. I got you. You know, it's not like it's going to be the last time you have an opportunity to get into it with Brady, for sure. Sometimes I wonder where he's coming from, too, man. he's like, I don't understand your point here. But
people just want to be right so bad these days, Jamie. You notice that? Like, these people on news arguing about politics and everything. It's like, even if being right is bad, they'd rather be right than good. If that makes any sense, right?
Yeah. You know,
these people arguing for Putin and it's like, guys, what side are we on here? You know, it's okay.
I'm with you, man. It's a weird time to be alive. I'll admit guilt sometimes. I like
sure.
to I like to be right, even if it's detrimental.
Yeah,
me
too.
Yeah,
it's tempting, isn't it? Yeah. Own yourself, but I'm right. Damn it.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, you're sleeping outside on the couch. Yeah,
it's, right.
I'm right. I told her.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. You know, I usually think, though, that it's going to help me in the long run, that maybe next time they won't question me. But no, it don't work that way. Guys, it's a call y'all have had for me before, and I'm going to hit it from a different angle. Like I said, I have come to the conclusion that we do have ourselves a bona fide, competent head football coach over there. And, man, just going through what we've gone through the last decade and a half, I don't want to see this come to an end because he did not do anything on the defensive side of the football. Now, I heard you with your last caller or a couple of callers ago talking about how you're not there yet as far as moving off of Banks, and I'm not there either. But he has got to improve the talent on that side of the ball, and I really think that's where it's at. I'll give him this portal season to make the necessary moves, and I really expect Heupel to be, you know, I think Heupel's on the same page as the rest of us. Like, all right, man, listen, if you can lure the talent in here to get our defensive out of the 90s, then you're our guy. But if you cannot, then you're not. So I'd hate for us to have the most dynamic offensive in the country and lose games 51-48. I know we're baby stepping, man, but I'm looking ahead. I want Heupel to be here. Johnny Majors link, Philip Fulmer link, that kind of and we all know at some point you're gonna have to have a defense to do that. So I think it's portal. You know, I think portal will put some band-aids on some wounds immediately and allow us to go out and recruit the guys that are gonna take some time to develop.
I agree. I mean, that's that NIL. If you can use that as weaponize that, so to speak, in recruiting and maybe get some instant impact, some five-star type talents in here. I think you look at that as well. And I do think, look, you play this style of offense they're committed to. Obviously, you're not going to change that. So you could tell me, well, our defense is going to be out there a long time. They're tired. And, well, other teams know that you're going to score, so they're going to, you know, play more aggressive offensively. And, okay, I get all that, but I still think that you are going to have to tighten up a little bit on the defensive side of the ball. And nobody's asking for hold teams to, you know, under 17 points a game. But, man, that 33 is a lot for that Florida team, I feel like. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe we'll be sitting here in a couple weeks and say, oh, man, they figured some things out. That Anthony Richardson's pretty good. And maybe Tennessee didn't do as badly as we thought. But, man, I feel like the two decent teams we've played so far kind of diced us up for the most of the games.
I think Anthony Richardson, what we saw Saturday, is closer to what he is compared to what he was against Kentucky. He had a lot of accolades, so I just assumed that not everybody was wrong about that guy. I think he's a lot better than what we saw the weeks before Saturday. I don't think he's 400 yards a game good, but interesting hearing you talk about the right before the top of the hour caller mentioning maybe it's the fact that teams are, you know, playing, you know, balls to the wall against us that really adds to our numbers. But I was really just surprised with our defensive line coach, Rodney Garner. Guy, he's such a name, and he's got such a reputation for putting kids in the NFL. How in the hell did we not get that guy from Powell High School? We can't have those guys sitting in our backyard and let them go. I know that was year one, but we just got to find a way to keep those guys around. The kid that was here Saturday, do you like our chances with him, or is he an Alabama guy?
Hobbs? Yeah, I mean,
defensive lineman?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's got a good shot at him. And I'll tell you, I was looking through the commitment list earlier this morning, and Tyree Weathersby, they took earlier as like a three-star defensive lineman from Georgia that didn't have a Georgia offer, and Tennessee beat out Kentucky and Mississippi State, South Carolina, schools like that for him. Well, all of a sudden, his start, now all of a sudden he's a four-star and, top 300 player nationally. So, like, maybe that's a diamond in the rough, but And again, like to your earlier point, maybe you go in the portal and one of these Bama or Georgia guys who doesn't see a path to the field right away, maybe you pluck one of those guys out. But, need an influx of talent for sure.
I'll be quick. I know y'all snuck me in there. I've got all the confidence in the world in Rodney Garner taking a three-star and moving him and moving him as far as him his ability to play on up. You know, we'll get the best out of him at the defensive line. I hope the linebackers and the secondary coach can do the same. The portal we really need to hit the portal for corners and safeties. And before I go, Marcus, you said before the Florida game and on that last play, you hit it on the head, man. And every time we did put pressure on him, it kind of, you know, we saw a different Anthony Richardson. Sitting in zone all day got us 450 yards. It was when we put pressure on him and forced him to make a throw where, you know, you were 100% on your film study. And on that, thank God, on that last play, we dialed up the blitz and got to him. It just so happened on my Twitter feed today was that Georgia Hobnail boot game. That was further away with less time. I didn't realize that till afterwards. I'm glad I didn't see it before our game. But yeah, we were further away with less time when we beat Georgia. So good call on your film study. Keep up the good work. Y'all hang in there.
Thank you, Jamie.
You know what to make all these positive.
I need to go look at the film.
Jamie calls,
and you know, I mean, I'll take him in stride.
Yeah, Mark is like, I'll take the compliment. I know I'll take it. I will accept it. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Coming up, we're going to find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Fox and Farmer. And time for another phone call or two as well. Back to wrap things up right after this. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro Attorneys. Well, we have a resolution to the Kevin Mays pinky finger cut off in a chair during his son's official visit to Georgia story.
That Sam Pittman picked up and just
put it on ice for him. And
yeah.
that's going the extra mile recruiting. They really wanted Cade.
Yeah.
If that's just some three-star, you say, I ain't picking up that finger.
I don't know, man. It's Pittman.
Lawsuit filed by the parents of Cade Mays, and former Georgia offensive lineman and Tennessee offensive lineman, against the University of Georgia Athletic Association and Board of Regents of the University System of Georgia and others has come to an end after more than 2.5 years of legal maneuvering.
I guess terms of settlement are confidential.
An attorney for the parents of Cade Mays filed with the State Court of Clark County on August 25th to, quote, dismiss the action with prejudice. A dismissal with prejudice often means the case has been settled by the parties. So, yeah, a news story on the Athens Banner-Herald does not have a number for the settlement. Kevin and Melinda Mays were seeking damages after the father's right pinky finger was partially amputated on the hinge of a folding chair in Sanford Stadium's club level as he attempted to stand up during a recruiting official visit at Georgia on December 15th of 2017.
Ugh.
Statement to the Banner Herald from UGA Athletics said, we are pleased the lawsuit is resolved and we wish the Mays family the best. Lawsuit was filed December 5th, 2019. Kevin Mays was seeking $3 million to pay for bills, pain and suffering, and lost wages and attorney's fees, as well as another $500,000 sought for Melinda Mays for, quote, loss of consortium. What does that mean?
No clue. Look it up, Marcus Young. Loss of consortium.
Loss of consortium. What does that mean?
I mean, loss of, like, was he not able to?
It was her. It was the wife.
Yeah,
she lost her consortium. You don't want
to
lose that.
It refers to the deprivation of the benefits of a family relationship due to injuries caused by a tortfeasor.
Oh, so like her, she was damaged. Her husband was unable to
help out around the house.
Yeah, help out around the do dishes. Mow the grass. Like, I don't know.
Call me crazy. I mean, he's got three boys. I really highly doubt that Kevin Mays is mowing his own yard. Would you mow your own yard if you had two sons that were the size of his?
It's
get your big 18 biscuit ass out there and mow my yard, boy.
Well, but if your son is a potential NFL line. Like, that changed the dynamic a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both major Power 5 prospects.
Well, no, I'm not. Like, you want the relationship to be healthy so that they'll take care of you when they hit it big.
Well, yeah.
How much would terms of, it doesn't look, it sounds like there is a settlement. Obviously, I don't think he got the $3 million, but
right.
There's a negotiation there, obviously. What, you lose your pinky, Bear. I'll just say that you're going to cut your pinky off in a folding chair. That sounds excruciatingly painful. You're going to do that. How much money would it take? Would you do it for $1 million?
Yes.
Marcus? $1 million. No anesthetic. And you're not at a hospital either. So it's like you got
to. Am I going to be able to get it sewn back on? I mean, I stuck my damn hand in a lawnmower one time. I don't want to explain it, but, you know, I didn't get $1 million. It hurt pretty bad.
I want to say yes, but, like, moment of truth, like, stick your finger in that chair. Go ahead and chop that thing off, Russ. Press down on that send button. I don't know if I could do it, man. Press down on that send button. I don't know, man.
I did decide, you know, because I knew we were going to talk about this story. I have someone in my contacts who's a nurse.
Yeah,
I've reached out. I haven't heard back yet, but I'm asking how easy or how difficult would it be to go on without a pinky? So, you know.
It's apparently, according to my research, it's not.
We'll find out. And
that's
curious.
Not what I'm concerned about.
You're concerned about the excruciating pain and trauma?
Yeah, I'm the initial couple of hours of just – and yeah.
No, man. It's just – it's like 20 minutes to get to the hospital.
It's like a little finger prick. Russ, come on. You'll be all right.
No, I mean, but once you get to the hospital, they give you a nerve block. In my case, they gave me a lot of Valium and some narcotic pain medication.
You know what will make you feel better?
Dilaudid.
Like, come on, you get high, Russ. It's kind of a win-win.
Yeah, I mean, 20 minutes of agony, and then you're going to get
I'm
loaded up with
expert.
High-powered pharmacy-grade heroin. It's essentially what it is.
What will make you feel better is
I
using
was banging 7-gram rocks.
Part of that million for 3 box seats for the drive for season tickets for the Vols. That would make you feel better.
I don't care about that. I host the drive, man. We can get any football game I want. Yeah. I want the money. I want to move to a new stately Smith Manor on the river, a mansion. I want to turn Fan Run Radio into Russ Run Radio.
Ooh.
Quick update. Her first.
We're going to a lot of change around here, boys. 3 days a week. That's the new work week.
For the drive or for everybody else? I mean, those guys, some of the other shows have been on that been on that schedule for years now.
Shots fired. Three down.
A quick update. Her first question was, did I lose a pinky?
What?
Pinky provides all your grip strength. Or a substantial amount of it.
All right. Yeah. That is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. If you are injured in an accident and need legal representation, call Fox and Farmer at 865-531-9400 and you can set up a free consultation. That's right. It's free. At Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you have to lose? Call today, 865-531-9400. Tell them Fan Run sent you. And get started with that free consultation. They're online at foxandfarmer.com. That's Fox and Farmer, the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Rex is next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Rex?
Hey guys, one thing, loss of consortium would include inability for him without his pinky to perform his husbandly duties of intimacy. So I know it's a shocker for everyone, but it's a real thing. I heard that Brady call in and say he's not happy. Like, if you're not happy now with this, this is not the sport for you. To call in and say, like, Hooker and Heupel or not as good as the 90s, well, in the 90s, there's NFL talent everywhere. These guys are overperforming with what they have, and it's just you need to watch the NFL where people are perfect. It's just not the sport for you.
I'm happy. Some men just want to watch the world burn, Rexy, you know?
I do, but, I mean, I like to watch the world burn, but I'm incredibly happy that we beat Florida because it just doesn't happen very often.
I'm not talking like, sure, our defense needs help. We can do some special teams, but, like, if you're not happy now, talking about the 90s, the truth is Peyton won one SEC title and that team won an SEC title and a national title the year without him with an inferior quarterback.
Well, think about it. Think about it from this perspective. Our program is back now. Think about all the years, the past 15 years, where you go into games, you go into season, you just know you can't win, and it's all about building for next year and recruiting all this. We can win any game, including Georgia, Alabama. Now, I'm not saying we're winning those games, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. Every time Tennessee takes the football field this year, there is a realistic chance, a realistic path to victory. So, like, when people say, we're back, are we back? It's like, what do you mean by back? If you mean by back 98-13-0, winning national championship, well, that's not the norm for anybody, Alabama included. For me, back is you're good, and you can win anytime you take the field. And from that perspective, my opinion, we're back.
Yeah. I mean, the competition's stronger.
I mean, it's just
like Georgia's historically been a place where talent goes to die, and they're not now.
Yeah, and it's just the people that get caught up in all that. I mean, the days of – I mean, we were – what Alabama is now, we were in the 90s. We lost – I mean, we had two first-round draft picks off the 97 team. We won it all the next year, undefeated. You don't see that outside of Alabama. We had the number one overall draft pick, and then I can't remember where what number the other one went, but – typically, that doesn't happen. So, I don't know. My whole deal is it's only the second time we beat him in like 18 years. So, hell yeah, I'm going to celebrate. Because they, Florida fans, are miserable right now, Rex. Miserable.
And I love it. And I woke up today and we still won on Saturday.
I'll let
the next guy jump on. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Rex. I actually think that's going to do it for us. But
they haven't beaten us in a damn thing in a year.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that stat? We own them in baseball, basketball, and football.
I do think, you know, even we beat them in 2016, but you still kind of felt like the mental hex was there. Something kind of feels different now, man. That felt like an exorcist. And we're probably not going to be playing them every year after next season.
Hmm.
So it feels like kind of closing the door on a dark chapter of Tennessee football history.
Hell yeah, it does.
Thank you, Marcus. Thank you, Bear. Another day, another dollar, another stellar edition of The Drive in the books. Overtime's up next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.